This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go!
What's up, everybody? Garrett here. Got a special guest today. Thought we'd bring him on because, quite honestly, the Chargers triple dipped into the TCU college pool. And we're joined here by Anthony North. He is the managing editor of Frogs of War. He covers TCU. And because the Chargers drafted three Horned Frogs this weekend, we wanted to bring Anthony on and get his opinions on three players that I know that he watched very, very closely the last few years. So thanks, Anthony. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited. It was an exciting draft weekend for the Horned Frogs, and excited to see all these guys join up out there in Southern California and join your Chargers. So excited always to talk about the Frogs and these guys in particular.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that you get three guys on one team is probably pretty exciting, I know. So let's just jump right into it. And the first one, you know, obviously in the first round, the Chargers take Quentin Johnston, which was the first round wide receiver. A lot of people had kind of mocked there anyway. Let's talk about how you feel as a player. And before we jumped on, I mentioned that Brandon Staley said right on the phone call when he talked to him after they picked him that he was so impressed with QJ and his kind of attitude in the interview they had after the combine. Talk to me about what type of player he is, how that translates on the field. Just give me your opinion on watching Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, Quentin Johnston has been just a phenomenal player for the Horned Frogs for his three seasons in Fort Worth. And he just a really hard worker in every aspect of his game, really developing his craft and his rapport with his teammates. He was always one of those guys that was getting praise from all of his teammates, from all of the coaching staff as the guy that was out there putting in the work to make himself better. He knew this goal of his to be a first round draft pick was always within reach. And he always had those physical tools to be that player. And he made sure to go out and do that. And, you know, he really burst on the scene a couple years ago with some big games, in particular taking down three touchdowns against Oklahoma, where he was really jumping over players and running through players and running past the defenders on that Oklahoma team. And he's really only continued to grow since then and had a huge season for the Frogs. That Fiesta Bowl game, is there are highlights from that game that will be TCU fans all time greatest moments as fans, and that he was able to put on the field. And there are just things that he can do on a football field that, you know, I don't know that TCU fans have seen before that anyone else in this draft could really do. His size, his speed, and what he can do with the ball after making a catch. So I think is a well-deserved first round draft pick, and should be bringing just some elite play to your Chargers.
So in it, and I'm sure Charger fans hope that he does. So this was his third season at TCU. So he freshman year, it was somewhere around 400 yards. Sophomore year, his season somewhere 600 yards, and then blew up this past season, almost 1,100 yards. What happened this past season, other than, you know, playing so many games going up to the national championship? What was it this year that just made Quentin Johnston explode onto the scene?
Yeah, the TCU offense as a whole took a huge step forward in the 2022 season. And you see it with the other guys that you drafted as well. But TCU had a coaching change in the offseason, where longtime legendary head coach Gary Patterson was let out the door and brought in Sonny Dykes and Garrett Riley to come and take over the offense. And that really was a huge improvement to everything that the offense was doing. So where previously it was a lot of focus on defense and a lot of focus on grinding out games and hope to win by 1 point, in the Sonny Dykes and Garrett Riley era, it was much more air it out and get the ball to those players in space and let them go do their thing. So it really, the new offense catered to his game and allowed him to really put all of those physical traits on display on the field.
So spaced him out. It worked out. I mean, he had 6 touchdowns his sophomore season, but he put the yards and the touchdowns together this past season. Now, when they drafted him, we know about the size and the speed, the athleticism, the downfield threat. The one thing that it seems a lot of people are knocking QJ on are the hands, which some people think are inconsistent. What did you see in that respect? Does he have kind of concentration issues at times? Did you see any of that, or is that kind of overblown in your mind?
No, I do think some of that is fair. I think it's the kind of thing where, particularly on these first round draft picks, where you know scouts and analysts will go in and watch every single play that they run. Mm-hmm. And you start to find nits to pick at. And there are plays that Quentin Johnston has put on tape where, whether it's a fumble in the Big 12 championship game, whether it's maybe, you know, he gets kind of out positioned on a play or has a drop on a play. Those plays are on tape. He's not a perfect prospect by any means. But I think that I can't dispute that. I think that's a totally fair things to see because those did show up on tape. But I would say, you know, maybe a handful of times across the season, this long, you know, he played 14 of the 15 games this season. I'd say maybe 5 or 6 of those plays show up. So I do see that, but the plays where he goes in and makes the play or goes and puts a move on a defender in space are way more frequent, and you're getting multiple of those plays per game on film. So I think the pros there far outweigh the cons, but it would also be fair to say that, you know, I'm coming from a TCU perspective on that. And you know, we watch Quentin Johnston with a lot of love. So I think that that's my thought on it, but it's fair, but it's just not as frequent enough to overpower the physical traits and the performance he put on the field.
Right. So there's a lot more good than there is the bad.
More good than bad. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Telesco said on the press conference that they think they can kind of clean up those hands a little bit too. So hopefully that's a positive too. So let's talk about the 4th round pick, Darius Davis. So they talked about him being a returner. They want him returning kicks. We know how dynamic he is in the return game. How was he kind of featured? Because obviously it's known how good he is in the return game. How was he featured kind of in the offense? What was his kind of role with TCU?
Yeah, on the offense, he was the same way it is in the return game, where his speed can be such a threat in anywhere on the field. To he would take those jet sweeps and be able to take that to the house. He would take short crossers and he's going to fly past anybody. But his route running has been really crisp as well, to where coming out of the slot, he could work himself into space behind linebackers, past safeties, and anytime he's touching the ball, he's a threat to end up in the end zone just because, you know, he's measured as one of the fastest players in college football on the field, speed. Mm-hmm. And so if he's able to get the ball, it's tough for the defenders to get hands on him. And certainly that's the case in college football. It will be interesting to see how much of that speed is an advantage over NFL players. Mm-hmm. And given his size, that may be a difficulty going into the NFL, to where everyone is just bigger and faster. You're not running around players from SMU and Colorado. You're running around, you know, Raiders and Chiefs. So I think that's fair. But yeah, he's able to take the ball in all phases of the game, and that speed is just such a weapon that you can't take for granted the ability for him to just take the ball and end up in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a lot of design runs. You talked about the jet sweeps, getting them in space. There's a lot of manufacturer touches in that offense. Now, the Chargers wide receiver room is kind of crowded at the moment. It's like 4 deep before Darius Davis even comes in, adding QJ to that as the 4. What do you think his NFL projection is? Do you think he could be a starting slot guy right away? Because that's kind of where they see him. Do you see him playing the slot right away? Do you think there's some things he needs to develop before he can hit the field and hit the ground running, so to speak? How far off do you think he is?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to step into a starting role in the slot right away. I think there'll be some opportunities to put some plays in where he makes something happen. But yeah, he will not be I wouldn't expect him to be a highly featured piece of the offense anywhere in this first rookie season. Mm-hmm. That said, I think he should be able to step right away into a returner role. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, those yards are important. Those opportunities to, whether you're taking one to the house, you're flipping field position, those yards are still important on the field. But yeah, I don't think that he is the deep depth chart that the Chargers have. He's not stepping into an every down or slot role right away. But he'll be able to contribute and be able to be a weapon out there that defenses will have to plan for and will have to scheme around and be aware of. When he's on the field, he could be the person who is targeted and can do some damage.
Yeah, it feels like he stepped into a pretty good situation here because he doesn't have to step in and be the wide receiver slot guy right away. There's four deep already. This is kind of a learn the NFL offense, get your touches as a returner, and then maybe sprinkle in, you know, maybe 3 to 5 snaps a game where he can maybe get some speed on the field and get those jet sweeps going and start to work yourself into the offense. And then maybe you're 2-3, you're ready to start to contribute. So I think it's a pretty good situation for Darius Davis. Now, he was drafted in the 4th round. The consensus on him and a guy that we had kind of talked about, we had watched him beforehand, that he was going like 6th or 7th round, 5th at the highest. How do you feel about his draft position? Were you surprised that he got drafted that high? Just from a personal aspect, where did you see him going?
Yeah, frankly, I was shocked. I was very surprised that he went that early. You know, I think we on our Frogs of War podcast preview of the NFL draft, when we were going through all of the players who we expected to be drafted, our team kind of felt like he was right on that cut line, mm-hmm. of, you know, maybe he's a UDFA guy, maybe he's a late, you know, 6th or 7th rounder. So, but we did acknowledge the position that I think, Coach Staley has stated about, you know, you get a day one starter in the return game with a definable skill, unteachable skill, which is his speed. Mm-hmm. That's a draftable quality. A 4th round draftable. I understand why, you know, Chargers fans or people across the NFL may think like that feels a little steep. Mm-hmm. But really, even into the 4th round, you're getting into that spot where you're starting to throw darts. And so if you have a dart throw that you know fills a role immediately on your team, mm-hmm. it's worth that. But it was definitely surprising to me. I was not expecting it to come for Davis so early, but glad that the Chargers have faith in him, and I'm sure they have some big plans for him in coming up in this NFL season.
Yeah, they had talked about how they wanted to find some kind of starter in the 4th round, somebody that can get in there, and they didn't have a lot of holes on this offensive defense, and they thought getting a starting returner right away would be the way to go in day 4, and they wouldn't have been able to find that in any other position. And the fact that they were able to get Darius in the 4th, they were, you know, they lost DeAndre Carter, who was their returner last year, but they really wanted to get somebody that could help right away, and Darius could do that. And they thought what we're hearing is that there was, from the wide receiver and corners that were returners, it was Darius, and then there was a huge drop-off. And if they didn't get Davis there, they just didn't want to wait, and they got him. So I hope that draft position doesn't work against him, and I hope Charger fans don't have too high hopes for him right away, because like you mentioned, and I happen to agree, I don't think he's a starter right away, and he shouldn't have to unless injuries occur, and if he does, then it'd be a nice fill-in role. But, you know, just a guy that can help on special teams right away and add some gas to the offense, I think is nice for the Chargers. And the fact that they maybe reached for some folks is fine because they're able to get a defined role for him right away. Let's move on to Max Duggan. So they go to the seventh and they draft Max Duggan. He was somewhat polarizing, not only for me, but a lot of different Charger fans about being drafted there in the seventh round. Tell me about the positives in his game and why you think, you know, some of that might work. I mean, he brought this team and this offense to the national championship. He was a runner up for the Heisman. So there's some talent there. Talk to me about the qualities that helped, you know, move this offense to all the way to the national championship.
Yeah, Davey O'Brien award winner, Heisman runner up, all of that kind of thing. And like we said with Quentin Johnston, I mean, this offense really took off this season, and Max Duggan was absolutely the primary beneficiary of the new offense. And you know, a lot of it is purely intangibles, which is really tough and is probably something that in the NFL is not quite as powerful as it is in college football, where he's just a gamer. He's just a warrior. He has that never say die attitude to where, you know, even through the previous off season going into the 2022 TCU season, he was not named the starter. He was put as number two on the depth chart going into the first game, where TCU starter Chandler Morris gets injured and Duggan comes in and runs off this incredible season. But, you know, a lot of times across college football, that kind of situation happens. You've got a longtime starter who's put on the bench and they decide to transfer. They decide to, you know, go be the starter at some lower level school or something and move on and, you know, never really see that. But for Max Duggan, that was really never, and he's talked about this quite a bit, nationally, about how that never really crossed his mind. He was always here for this team and here to continue working, you know, with the Horned Frog teammates, and that it was just a, you know, a bump in his road and his story to continue forward. So, and yes, all of those things are intangible. The leadership aspect, the fight in him. But on the field, the actual performance as a quarterback, he's dynamic in a lot of ways. He's able to make plays with his legs on the move, make plays to where, you know, some of his rushing touchdowns over the years and particularly this season, where, you know, he puts that speed on display. He's much faster than you think for his size and for his build. But he was also this season able to improve his accuracy tremendously from years past, to where he's able to hit those wide receiver screens on time to guys like Darius Davis, who can then take those for big yards, but also finding space over the middle on post routes to Quentin Johnston, and taking those shots deep to really trust his guys as well. So I think he just really grew as a quarterback into this last season in this offense, where there are still those moments that make you shake your head and make you, you know, kind of, you know, want to, come on, Max. But there's plenty of those overthrows, you know, just like not the best decisions all the time. But you know that when he's put in a system that will support him and with a coaching staff that will put him in the best position for success, he's going to find ways to find that success. And that's, you know, I mean, I think we can probably say, you know, all the flowery things about Max Duggan, but that's really it, is that he will put in the work to maximize his opportunity. And, you know, I think it's fair to say his maximum performance is probably lower than, you know, a lot of your first round type draft picks. I mean, he's not going to come in and compete with Justin Herbert to take the starting role. I think no one has that illusion, but, you know, to be a valuable player in that locker room and a valuable, you know, risk mitigation stopgap in the quarterback depth chart. I think he certainly has a role going forward in the NFL.
Was he a vocal leader? Like, what kind of personality did he have? Yeah. I mean, you talked about that stuff on the field, but yeah, he was kind of the driving force of that leadership.
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of the players through media availability throughout this last season and through the off season would comment about how much they respected Max, about the way that even when he lost that starting job, he was still one of the vocal leaders in the locker room. He was still supporting all of the guys. He's just that, like, he's a coach's son. His dad was his high school coach in Council Bluffs, Iowa. He's all of those things that kind of, like, storybook quarterbacks, the Disney story quarterbacks are. But he really is all those things. You know, he is that vocal leader in the locker room, in practice, and certainly on the field.
So you talked about, that's interesting. I didn't know that his dad was a high school coach. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
So you talked about, you know, he needs to be in a system that caters to, you know, his skill set. What kind of offense do you think he needs to go to? Because is he a more of a one read type quarterback, which I kind of feel like? Is he a guy that works through his progressions? Does he need to be in a kind of an RPO? What kind of offense did TCU run that kind of helped? Like, what kind of skill sets helped him in that offense?
He did improve on that kind of multiple read progression this season, but he probably is still better suited towards a know where you're going to go, and then make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think you can probably see where he gets the happy feet in the pocket. If he's just left to think too long, he's much more of a go out and do it. And I think even in the draft process, to where, like at the Senior Bowl, where in, I don't know, one-on-one drills, where he's expected to do things exactly a certain way, that doesn't work out so well. But when he's put in the game situations, mm-hmm. he goes out there and makes the plays, even in those practices and in the Senior Bowl work. So I think it's really just putting him out there in those game situations to where, set him up for success, give him some options, some playmakers who can catch the ball and make something happen. And like you said, with the RPOs, he's able to make that right decision a lot of the time. He was absolutely devastating to defenses when he would pull that ball out and go on a run, especially in near to goal line situations. So I think it does have to be an offense that sets up to his skill set. Mm-hmm. But he's able to, you kind of roll the ball out and he's able to figure it out.
Yeah. So it sounds more like he sounds like a competitor in game type situation quarterback, but more of a quick timing offense where it's one read, get the ball out of your hands quickly.
I think that's good. Fair.
And you know, he was brought in to compete with the Chargers' current QB2, which is Easton Stick, who they drafted a few years ago, signed him to a 1-year contract. So in that regard, he's coming in, and whether they keep three quarterbacks, we'll see. But obviously there'll be some competition there behind Justin Herbert. One last thing I just wanted to just talking to you here now, obviously as somebody who covers the Chargers, another big TCU member of this team is the Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson. Where do you think he ranks among TCU players that hit the NFL? Is he the greatest? Is he top five? Where does he sit for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to, in my lifetime, say it's anyone other than LaDainian Tomlinson. Uh-huh. You know, there are way back in the, you know, early days, some TCU Horned Frogs who, you know, Davey O'Brien or Sammy Ball, who have come out and done things in professional football. But
yeah,
certainly as pros, as NFL players, in my lifetime, there's nothing like LaDainian Tomlinson, and you know, pretty much the all-time great fantasy football player, and all-time great Horned Frog, all-time great Charger, and mm-hmm. and he's been an incredible ambassador for TCU. I think, you know, Southern California and California in general is just behind Texas as the largest student base for TCU. So TCU, since he went out there, really kind of exploded in popularity in California. I think it's something like 15% of the entire student body is from the state of California. So,
Wow. Yeah,
absolutely. LaDainian Tomlinson is definitely number one as far as NFL players. And then you start talking about Andy Dalton, who is not going to have a Hall of Fame career, but has had a very long career, very successful career, and has done a lot of great things in the NFL as well. And you know, I think for Chargers fans, seeing a TCU wide receiver drafted in the first round, you know, you might get a little bit scared of of seeing Jalen Reagor has been in that position, and Josh Doctson has been in that position. So TCU has had these guys who have been drafted in the first round in the last, you know, 10 years or so, and they have kind of flamed out in the NFL. So understand the bit of reservation there. I think where Quentin Johnston stands out differently from those two guys is Josh Doctson was the guy who had all the size, but he was a walk-on. He was not the high-level recruit. He did not have the kind of God-given, born with talent and skills that Quentin Johnston had. And then on the other side, Jalen Reagor was a high-level recruit, but was a smaller guy, and maybe his mental makeup wasn't in the shape where it needed to be. Quentin Johnston is the full combination of all of those things. He was a huge recruit coming out of high school, could have gone anywhere in the country. He has all the physical tools, and he has the mental makeup to be great. So I know it's easy to lump all those guys in together, but I think Quentin Johnston will break that stigma and will be a big success for the Chargers.
Perfect way to end it. I was going to bring up Reagor and Doctson, but I'm glad you did. So listen, Anthony, appreciate you coming on. Everybody watching, listening, it's Anthony North. Make sure to follow him. He's at North_Anthony. Go read his stuff over at Frogs of War, where he covers TCU. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on Quentin Johnston, Darius Davis, and Max Duggan. I saw earlier there were some articles about that. So if you want to read it, go over there and read it. Appreciate you coming on, Anthony. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Garrett.